We'd open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we're going to be speaking on faith. In fact, where Brother Branham said in paragraph number 10 of the masterpiece, he was talking about where are we placing our faith. And so we'd like to talk about faith this morning. And so we'll have to read from Hebrews chapter 11 because that is our faith chapter in the Scriptures. Beginning at verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which we obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we come today in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, that name which he inherited, that name which you gave him, your name. And so, Father, in that name we pray that you would help us as we would open thy word today, knowing, as your prophet often said, any man can open this Bible, but it takes you to reveal it. And so we thank you, Father, for revelation is faith. Faith is a revelation. And so, Father, we ask that you would take that revelation into our heart, that you would help us, Lord, as we take it into our heart, that it might grow and produce, Lord, that which you ordained for it to bring forth. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to this study in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I would like to continue with our examination of Brother Branham's sermon on the masterpiece. And this is number 11 in our series, and we have just left his opening prayer to where Brother Branham has begun a small introduction to his subject. And this morning, we would like to pick up at paragraph 10, if you have your copies with you. And I would like to read a statement he made in this paragraph 10 because it's worth thinking about and meditating upon. Because it has to do with where we are going to end up at. And that's important to me. I hope it's important to you. In the masterpiece, paragraph 10, Brother Branham said, now we got to place our faith somewhere. Now he went on and said other things in this paragraph, but I'm not so interested today in those other things because I'm focusing this morning on just these few words. He said, now we've got to place our faith somewhere. And then he goes on to say we could place our faith in making $1 million. But then what are we going to do with it? We can't take it with us, and so what good does it really do? He says, and if I or any of us in life try to make a success in life and become many times a millionaire, but what are we going to do with that? We got to come down at the end of the road, and what good is that to us then? You see, money is just a script. It's just an exchange. But you can't exchange it for life. Only God has life. Now that's the real question. We are here to ask ourselves today this question. And that is, where are we going to place our faith? He said, we got to place our faith somewhere. So the question is, and the question I ask you this morning, is where are you placing your faith? Remember last night where Brother Branham says that he goes through life looking on the little things because Jesus promised us that all things work together for the good of those that love God and for those who are the called, the appointed, according to the Lord. And so we miss God so many times by missing what he's doing in the little things in our lives. We seem to focus so much on the large things, the grand things, the super things. But we know that God hides himself in simplicity. And we even testify to that. And yet when it comes to our own lives, we seem to have our thoughts elsewhere than upon the little things. But it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what the scripture tells us. And it is the little things that is left undone that will undo us. And it is the little things that God makes himself known in. When Elijah wanted to hear from God, he prayed earnestly to God for an answer. And then the lightning came. But he didn't find God in the lightning. Then the thunder came. He didn't find God in the thunder. Then the earth quaked. And the wind howled and whirled like a whirlwind or tornado perhaps. And yet he found not God in any of these things. But when that still small voice came to him, he knew instantly that God was going to speak to him and that he should be still to hear the voice of God. From the message influence, Brother Ram said, here's a good example, always. Always be conscious of your littleness, not your bigness. Today we Americans so much, we try to think that we're a big somebody. We belong to something big, some big organization, some big something. All great big is all we see. And when one time in the Bible we have an example of that, there was a prophet that went back into a cave. It was Elijah. And God was trying to attract his attention to come out. And there come the fire and the smoke and the blusterous winds across the mountains and thunder and earthquakes and shakings and everything else. And the prophet never even moved. God wasn't even in it. But when that still small voice spoke, he covered his face and he came forward. When the still small voice of God's word speaks, not a racket, not our big denomination, not our big something, but that still small voice of the word that's looked over, that should call a man to repentance. God in his word. Yet he covered his feet and he became conscious of his littleness before God. I remember years ago, many years ago, almost 30 now, there was kind of a move after Brother Branham had gone off the scene. In fact, it might have been closer to 40. Several of the brothers from around the world had gotten together and they were going to split up the world. They were going to make themselves lords over God's heritage. They asked Brother Vail, why don't you hang around with the big shots? He said, because I'm not a big shot, I'm a little shot. He said, there is no big shots in the message. From the Evening Messenger, Brother Ram said, notice big noises, but it didn't attract the prophet. The prophet didn't care about the big noises, but when he heard a still small voice, he knew that that was the word. And he veiled his face and come walking out. And you know, the sun can draw more water in 15 minutes without any noise at all. When we try to make draw even a gallon of water, he said, we make a lot of noise, and he said, it takes us a long time to do it. But the sun can do a million barrels without a sound. And we make more noise drawing a gallon of water than the sun does a million barrels. That's right. We're always looking for something that's got big and a lot of hurrah and a lot of racket to it. And when it comes down to the fact of taking the word, then here comes the thing of it, see? You come and say, well, bless you, bless God, I tell you. But now, as I said earlier in this message, Brother Bram said, we've got to place our faith somewhere. So the question is, where are we placing our faith? We know that faith is a revelation, because Brother Bram told us in several places in the late 1965, beginning with the sermon, False Anointed. He said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, and the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. But by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see that. You see where we're living. You see the hour. Now I want you to notice the example that Brother Brown gave us. He quoted Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And we know the word righteous means to be rightly wise. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now notice that we're told that Abel's sacrifice was a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. So then Cain's sacrifice has to be an excellent sacrifice if Abel's sacrifice is a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. And in order to be more excellent than the other must also be excellent. And Cain's sacrifice was an excellent sacrifice because it was Deuteronomy chapter 26. It was a first fruit offering. So Cain's sacrifice was very Bible-based. Therefore, Cain was a fundamentalist. But did you ever think what the first fruit, the first of the fruits of the Spirit is? Anybody quote that? The fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Notice the fruits of the Spirit are love. So the first fruit offering should have been love, not Deuteronomy 26. In Deuteronomy 26 and 1, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possess it and dwelt therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. So it's very scriptural. It's an excellent sacrifice. But see, if it's done without love, it might be a first fruit offering, but it's not a first fruit of the Spirit. You see? Now notice that Cain offered unto God a first fruit offering, which is a harvest offering or resurrection offering, because the harvest represents the resurrection time when the reaper shall come and harvest the crops. But his revelation was out of season, for without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, and there will be no resurrection to life without the once for all blood sacrifice. So Cain's sacrifice, although it was excellent, it was out of season. And when Cain had a son, he called his name Enoch, his firstborn. But this Enoch was not the Enoch that Adam had that would be taken in the first rapture, or that was a descendant from Adam. But Cain was a fundamentalist, and he believed the scriptures and could read them in the stars, just as Adam could read them, and those that lived back then could read them. But John said that he killed his brother because his deeds were evil. John didn't say that the killing of his brother was an evil deed, although it was evil, but that his reason for killing his brother was that his own deeds were evil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. You see, Cain didn't have love. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now, it does not say here that the slaying of his brother was an evil deed, but he slew his brother because his deeds were evil. And what was his evil deed? This same apostle who wrote this epistle also wrote the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Because why? Because their deeds were evil. So their deeds are evil, they won't come to the light. So when God offered him opportunity, he said, you have rightly offered, but you haven't rightly divided. If you do as your brother does, you'll do well. And he went off and he killed his brother. They won't come to the light because they think they have a better understanding of the word. So he offered unto God an excellent sacrifice, and yet it was called evil by the Apostle John. And the same John said that the evidence of God's seed is love. And Cain is not of an example of love. He said, not as Cain. In fact, if you look at the Spirit upon him, you will see that because God did not accept his sacrifice, he got angry. And he killed his brother. That is not love. And that is exactly what the Apostle John pointed out, that Cain is not to be an example of this love of the brethren, that will manifest who is God's seed and who is not. Remember, he said, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain. You see? And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, there remaineth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Therefore, it begins with faith, which is a revelation, but it must come up from faith into hope, which is an earnest expectation. And then that earnest expectation comes forth in an expression of giving, which Paul calls love. The first thing is faith, which is revelation, and then if that faith is a genuine revelation, it will build up into an earnest expectation from it. For if you truly believe something, then you earnestly expect that something to bring forth, and to bring forth is what is called love. Love is always characterized in the Scripture as giving. So, for God so loved the world that he gave, you see. Now, if a man has a revelation about a woman to be his bride, it will build up an earnest expectation within him that will bring forth a giving. So, in fact, the giving expresses the revelation. And so does your sacrifice express your revelation, because your sacrifice is what you give. You see, the sacrifice is a result of what is revealed to you. And you become your revelation. Just as Abel offered up to God a bleeding, dying lamb, and he became a bleeding, dying lamb. Now, from the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham said, what is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation, because faith has been revealed to you. Abel, by faith, offered by revelation, by faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought that they ate apples. They still got that idea, you know. But it wasn't. It was adultery, serpent seed. And there, when the seven seals was opened, it declared it and proved it. My book's just out on it, and I think we have got 1,000 here now, see? Now notice that scripturally, from Genesis to Revelation, at the end time, both trees are coming to the seed and proving themselves. Now, if something is truly revealed to you, then it will produce within you an earnest expectation, which is hope. And if so, then it will end up in an expression of love. And if so, if our sacrifice to God did not come from an expression of love, then they are no use to us, and they are no use to God. You see, if it's not revealed, if it doesn't bring forth an earnest expectation, if it doesn't produce an act of love, which is giving, if it hasn't come and expressed itself out from revelation into earnest expectation, into that expression of love, no matter how much you give, how much you sacrifice, it's works. It's just an act. It's got to come forth from revelation. Now, if something is truly revealed to you, then it will produce within you an earnest expectation, which is hope. And that hope will produce love. Paul said, though I give my body to be burned, and I do not have love, what does it profit me? And notice that Cain's works were not an expression of love. For when given an opportunity to do right, he rejected it and killed his brother to get him out of the way. Why do you do that? Too much competition for God's time. Too much competition for God's attention. Let's get rid of the competition. And how many preachers have done the same thing in this hour? When they know that they don't have the full truth, they attack the man and try to kill his influence. Now that will never get you closer to God. So why do it? Why would you do something that stupid? Why would you attack the man? Just let him be. If you feel that someone is off the word, just let him go. Let him be. From works is faith expressed, Brother Ramson, in an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, and they were all good people, we'll say. But there's some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace, it's just given to them. Now, there is the difference, see? That does it. That's the real revelation, because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed. You ask yourself, why is it so easy for me to understand? I try to share this with others, and it goes over their head. Jesus said, because it's given for you to know. But to them, it's not given. And from the rapture, Brother Ram said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. That's the revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. And you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what's been revealed to him as though it even wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is. It's the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. And Brother Ram also said from the masterpiece, we got to place our faith somewhere. So the question I want to consider this morning is, where are you placing your faith? Where do you place your faith in? Because that will tell you where that you're going. You see, if you have faith, then there must be an earnest expectation. And if so, then what are you earnestly expecting? What is your hope? And if there is a hope, then that hope will manifest itself in what you do. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But I thought he said also in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Is that a contradiction? He said, by grace are you saved through faith. Now remember, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The things that are not seen. So we are saved by hope, he says. So you see, it actually is by grace that we're saved, because it is not what we have done, but what He has done for us. And the grace given to us is by His faith in the Father to keep His word. And if we have His faith, and if we truly have genuine faith, then out of that faith comes forth a hope, which is an earnest expectation. You're expecting something from your faith. You're just not going to church plodding along, you know. You're not saying, where's the promise of His coming? Where's the promise of His parousia? Since the last of the fathers fell asleep, you know, William Branham, all things continue. It's just kind of plod, plod, plod. Oh, Lord, I hope we can get out of here. I hope, I mean, like Brother Branham said, sometimes hope is your worst enemy. If we have His faith, and if it truly is genuine, then out of that faith comes forth an earnest expectation, and out of that earnest expectation comes forth an expression resulting in an act of love. And that is why the same apostle could say in Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, Martin Luther said, hope denotes an expectation that is most intense. It's not a passive thing. Hope is not. Hope moves you. You see, you go from faith, which is passive, but hope moves you in an expression toward love, which is an outward expression of that revelation. And Martin Luther said, hope denotes an expectation that is most intense. Hope that grows out of the ardent longing for that which is greatly desired makes our love even greater by the very distance that separates it. Through such high tensioned hope, there is created, so to speak, a unity between the one who hopes and that which he hopes for. And Paul said, if you see it, then you no longer hope for it. If you see it, you no longer earnestly are expecting it, as though it is not there. That is why hope is that which is not seen. And yet it is earnestly expecting for that which is not yet arrived. But when it comes to that place, then love takes over and the giving begins. And as Brother Branham said, your faith has to have a place where it is focused in on. He said, we got to be to place our faith somewhere. For where you place your faith is where you are earnestly expecting from. Now, from questions and answers from Brother Branham, he said, now notice, then, when they were captured and carried away into Babylon because they tried to impersonate the nations of the world, what a beautiful picture today of the church trying to impersonate the word out yonder and carried away with their living. The church lives just the same as the world does, carries on, acts just like it, and everything else, and claiming to be the church. You can't do that. No, sir. Your very life proves what you are. As I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial or terrestrial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you still got malice and envy and strife, you're in the spirit land with that. It reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting. That's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in the flesh. Do you see? There it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. And from explaining healing and Jairus, Brother Branham said, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else and say, well, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection. Or here, rather, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other bodies are waiting. I don't know why, but it seems like we always want to put it off till tomorrow. People always looking down the road, always looking back, and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Why would we put off to tomorrow the blessings that God is more than willing to give you today? I don't understand it. We think blessings come in terms of material things. But let me tell you, when you've gone to as many nations as I have seen, and most of them poor, you come to recognize that the real wealth is not in the things that you have, but it's in the Word of God and in the fellowship around that Word. Therefore, if you are earnestly expecting from what our faith or revelation has told you, then your life will reflect it. And your focus will be on that, and your expectation will be focused on one thing. And thus your life will be given over to that which has been revealed to you. And that is the sacrifice. Paul said, make your bodies your living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And thus your life will be given over to that which has been revealed to you, and that is the sacrifice. For no greater love has a man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. And that is the ultimate sacrifice. That is the ultimate expression of love. Then where is your faith today? Is it storing up treasure in heaven, where the moth does not devour and the rust does not corrupt? Or are you storing up your treasure here on earth, where the moth does destroy and the rust does corrupt? Where is your faith today? Where is your revelation focused upon? Because it reflects the life that you live. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we ask, Lord, that you would give us a good, clean revelation, Father. One that is strictly focused upon Thee, upon the end time hour, the conditions that we're living in, upon your presence among us, Father, and upon the great hope of a soon catching away and a soon resurrection of the dead. Father, we commit ourselves, Lord, to this end time message. We commit ourselves knowing that we are in the end time. And Father, that your presence is here among us. And that, Father, all we have to do is ask. And you're more than willing to help. And so, Father, we pray that you keep us focused. Help us to stay focused. For we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who struggled himself in the garden to keep that focus. But nevertheless, he came to the place where he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. May that be on the lips, the tongues of every individual here this morning. Not my will, but thy will be done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing the song Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. is Alpha and Omega. He is Alpha and Omega.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we just praise you. Worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, knowing that you are the Alpha and you are the Omega, the same ministry which you had through your Son Jesus. You came back in this hour. The same pillar of fire that entered your prophet came back in this hour to be with the bride of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit ourselves. As your prophet said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Father, you are leading, and we are following. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.